Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Vena went astray from the path of righteousness, and the Brahmanas chastised him by the thunderbolt curse. By this, King Vena was burnt with his good deeds and opulence, and was en route to hell. The Lord, by his causeless mercy, descended as his son by the name Prithu, delivered the condemned King Vena from hell, and exploited the earth by drawing all kinds of crops as produce. Purport. According to the system of Varnashram Dharma, the pious and learned Brahmanas were the natural guardians of society. The Brahmanas, by their learned labor of love, would instruct the administrator kings how to rule the country in complete righteousness. And thus the process would go on as a perfect welfare state. The kings or the Kshatriya administrators would always consult the council of learned Brahmanas. They were never autocratic monarchs. The scriptures, like Manu Sangita and other authorized books of the great sages, were guiding principles for ruling the subjects, and there was no need for less intelligent persons to manufacture a code of law in the name of democracy. The less intelligent mass of people have very little knowledge of their own welfare, as a child has very little knowledge of its future well-being. The experienced father guides the innocent child towards the path of progress, and the childlike mass of people never need similar guidance. The standard welfare codes are already there in the Manu Sangita and other Vedic literatures. The learned Brahmanas would advise the king in terms of those standard books of knowledge and with reference to the particular situation of time and place. Such Brahmanas were not paid servants of the king, and therefore they had the strength to dictate to the king on the principles of scriptures. This system continued even up to the time of Maharaj Chandragupta and the Brahmana Chanakya, who was his unpaid prime minister. Maharaj Vena did not adhere to this principle of ruling, and he disobeyed the learned Brahmanas. The broad-minded Brahmanas were not self-interested, but looked to the interest of complete welfare for all the subjects. They wanted to chastise King Vena for his misconduct, and so prayed to the Almighty Lord, as well as cursed the king. Long life, obedience, good reputation, righteousness, prospects of being promoted to higher planets, and blessings of great personalities are all vanquished simply by disobedience to a great soul. One should strictly try to follow in the footsteps of great souls. Maharaj Vena became a king, undoubtedly due to his past deeds of righteousness, but because he willfully neglected the great souls, he was punished by the loss of all the above-mentioned acquisitions. In the Vamana Purana, the history of Maharaj Vena and his degradation are fully described. When Maharaj Prithu heard about the hellish condition of his father, Vena, who was suffering from leprosy in the family of Amlecha, he at once brought the former king of Kurukshetra to his purification and relieved him of all sufferings. Maharaj Prithu, the incarnation of God, descended by the prayer of the Brahmanas to rectify the disorders on earth. He produced all kinds of crops, but at the same time, he performed the duty of a son who delivers his father from hellish conditions. The word putra means one who delivers from hell, called put. That is a worthy son. Yad venam upatagatam dvijavakya vajra nishplushta paurushabagam niraye patantam tratvartito jagati putra patang chalebhi dukta vasunni vasuda sakalani yena. Maharaj Vena went astray from the path of righteousness, and the Brahmanas chastised him by the thunderbolt curse. By this King Vena was burnt with his good deeds and opulence, and was en route to hell. The Lord, by his causeless mercy, descended as his son by the name Prithu, delivered the condemned King Vena from hell, and exploited the earth by drawing all kinds of crops as produce. Om Agyanatamarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vinishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I seek the permission of all the assembled devotees to try and say something appropriate about today's verse. It's actually Chandramouli Swami was meant to give class, and then I received a message from India from the person who was organizing the class, Ujeshwari Mataji, asking, can you step in? So that was a few days ago, so I'll apologize if you were tuning in to hear Chandramouli Swami give an ecstatic class, you have me instead. But I'll try my best. Hare Krishna. So there's a little bit about government here, you know. Prabhupada says the Kshatriyas, they were never autocratic monarchs. This is quite an interesting statement, because if you read Prabhupada's books in full, you'll find the example of many autocratic monarchs. Anyone know any autocratic monarchs? Anyone like to name any personalities who were autocrats, who were monarchs, who ruled over the whole world? Prithu? Parikshit, yes. I thought you said Prithu for a minute, but Prithu Maharaj is an example. Parikshit Maharaj, any other examples? Yudhisthira Maharaj, yes. What about any incarnations? Now, Prithu is a Shaktivesh avatar. Any avatars ruled over the earth? Rishabhdev? Lord Ram? Ram Raj is an example. When Prabhupada talked about government, he would often refer to Lord Ram and Lord Maharaj Yudhisthira as perfect examples of pious kings. So these kings are known as Raja Rishi. Rajan Rishi, the Raj means Kshatriya, Rishi means Brahman. So a Brahman and a Kshatriya, when you combine the two, you have a Kshatriya with the knowledge of a Brahman, and they are actually Kshatriya by Varna, but because they have the knowledge of the Brahman, because they're Vaishnavs, they can rule according to the principles of the Brahmins. And such personalities, they can be autocrats. Now I'll read a lovely purport, or part of a purport, from Canto 1. This is where Prabhupada talks about autocrats. This is Chapter 10, Text 3, purport. And this is interesting. The concept of one world state can only be fulfilled if we can follow the infallible authority. An imperfect human being cannot create an ideology acceptable to everyone. Only the perfect and infallible can create a program which is applicable to every place and can be followed by all in the world. It is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. If the person is perfect, the government is perfect. If the person is a fool, the government is a fool's paradise. That is the law of nature. There are so many stories of imperfect kings or executive heads. Therefore, the executive head must be a trained person like Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he must have the full autocratic power to rule over the world. The concept of a world state can take shape only under the regime of a perfect king like Maharaj Yudhisthira. The world was happy in those days because there were kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira to rule over the world. So nowadays, if you look at the world in general, for the most part, democracy is sacred, right? If you want to invade a country, kill a lot of people for some financial gain, if you present it as, we want democracy, we want to make this place democratic, then a lot of people will support, isn't it? We all know that there are other motives. Democracy may be one of the motives. Helping people may be one of the motives, but usually there's financial motive as well. Some of the world wars that go on in the world. But democracy is considered so sacred that you can use it to justify invading a country, basically. Right? Now, why are people in favour of democracy? Winston Churchill once said, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the other forms that we know. He said something like that. In other words, democracy is the lesser of evils. And I personally would rather live in a democratic country because from what I see, you're more likely to have certain human rights protected if you live in a democracy. So I'm in favour of democracy as the worst system that we currently have that works. But it's not the system that we should have. The system Prabhupada here, he says, we need a world leader and not a puppet who's tied to a constitution, but someone who actually does have power to make decisions. Now, what do people think of when they think of an autocrat? It's a dirty word, right? I said democracy is a good word for a lot of people. Autocracy, if you say someone's an autocrat, it usually means you're insulting them, right? He's an autocrat. Oh, no, he's not an autocrat, is he? Because autocracy is associated with corruption, right? So we have countries in the world. If you look at, it's an interesting fact, if you look at statistically speaking, the greatest cause of death in the world is governments killing their own people. Actually, statistically speaking, that is actually the correct fact. Now, if you look at some of the worst examples, you know, Pol Pot springs to mind. If you've got an autocrat, the autocrat goes a bit loopy, a bit funny, and an autocrat can cause havoc. Stalin killed, how many millions did Stalin kill? I mean, they say it's easier to kill a million people than it is to kill one. Because if you kill a group of people, you take away the human element. It's like charity collecting. People know if you want to collect for a cause, you choose one person. Here is Tina. Tina's got cancer. Tina's mother is poor. She's a single woman. And you make it all about Tina. And then people want to give. But if you say there are 500,000 people in this country with cancer, can you give? Then people don't connect. We don't connect to numbers. We connect to individuals and people. Right, so it's easy just to take a group of people and just say we're going to kill them. Just they become a non-entity. A million people. If you can kill a million people, you can kill 10 million at that. That's the way it is. So autocracy is very dangerous. For that reason, people want democracy. But here's an interesting conversation. It's in Science of Self-Realization, and the BTG Back to God His staff, they asked Prabhupada some questions about the American Revolution. So BTG, one American motto is one nation under God. Prabhupada, yes, that is Krishna consciousness. There should be one nation under God and one world government under God as well. Everything belongs to God and we are all his sons. That philosophy is wanted, BTG. But in America, people are very much afraid of a central government because they think that whenever there is a strong government, there will always be tyranny. Prabhupada, if the leaders are properly trained, there cannot be tyranny. BTG. But one of the premises of the American system of government is that if a leader has too much power, he will inevitably become corrupt. We've heard the phrase, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is the way they're thinking. This is how the American people are thinking. BTG. What is that? You have to train him in such a way that he cannot become corrupt. BTG, what is that training process, Prabhupada? That training is the Varnashram Dharma. Divide the society according to quality and train people in the principle that everything belongs to God and should be used in the service of God. then there really can be one nation under God. So that's Prabhupada's vision, one nation under God. And actually, when you think about it, many of the problems in this world are due to not having one government. To give an example, we have this problem with the environment. The environment's getting spoiled. So we ask each individual country, we want you to change the way you do things to protect the environment. And what happens? One country's thinking, China's thinking, if we do that, we will lose our competitive edge. It's going to cost us a lot of money to clean up our act. And what if our rivals aren't doing the same? Then they'll have an unfair advantage over us. So we'll, as a nation, we will be destroyed ultimately because we'll be following the rules and other nations won't. And Americans are thinking the same way. The same is the same with, for example, biological weapons. One of the great dangers of society is biological weapons. Well, you genetically modify some virus and then it gets released and it kills millions of people. Some people say COVID came from a lab. I don't know. Maybe it did. There was a lab in Wuhan. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Anyway, it's a real danger. So why don't we stop doing it altogether? Now, in the case of biological weapons, one country is thinking, we have to create these weapons because we don't know if our rivals are doing it or not. And if they create the weapons and we don't, then they have an unfair advantage over us and we'll be vanquished. Therefore, as a matter of self-defense, we must create these destructive weapons. So we have a situation where every country is stockpiling weapons, creating biological weapons, they're cheating, they're not following and protecting the environment because they think by doing so, by following the rules, the international rules, I will be at a loss. Our country will be at a loss, you see? So where every country is incentivized to do the wrong thing. Otherwise, they'll lose. Take the Amazon rainforest, for example. Everyone knows we shouldn't be cutting it down. But if you go to that area, you'll find different tribes or different governments, and they'll be in competition with each other. And one will be thinking, if we don't cut down this part of the forest, our rivals will. So the forest is going to get cut down anyway. So we may as well be the ones doing it, because if we don't do it, it's going to happen anyway, and we'll lose out. And they might conquer us because we need to get our finances need to be sorted. We need to look after our families, our tribes, etc. In this way, no one can do the right thing without incurring a loss. Now, it's like in this country, why do people pay taxes? Is it because they want to? No, because there's a law. The law says you pay your tax. We create our law, everyone pays their tax, and then people pay it. But if, for example, in Britain, all the different counties said, well, we don't follow the UK government anymore, we're not going to. And so Hertfordshire decide, all the people in Hertfordshire, we're not going to pay any taxes because then we'll be richer than every other county. That's not going to happen. Why? Because there's a government and there's an army, and the Hertfordshire people know that if they try and break the law, ultimately the military will come in and try and take them away. You don't know. They'll put them in prison or arrest them or whatever. So we know that law, if you have an overarching law, it works. So it's the same with government, the world. The world will work if there's an overarching, a kshatriya class that can rule over the entire world. If that were to happen, there wouldn't be any of this problem of people spoiling the environment for some advantage. So in other words, if we have many people rivals, and these rivals are not righteous, then we have disharmony. Prabhupada used to criticize democracy, call it demon crazy. So here's this question. What would happen if we had a referendum in the UK tomorrow and the question was, shall we close the slaughterhouses? What would be the result? Would they vote for it or against? Would they for or against? We would vote for, but what would be the majority? Against, exactly. So the problem with democracy is people are not qualified to lead. Now, Socrates gave an example because he criticized, was it Plato or Socrates? He criticized democracy. He said, suppose you're at sea and you're in a boat, you need to steer that boat. So who's the best person? Say you've got some expert sailors on the boat and you've got some people who have no knowledge at all how to sail a ship. Who should make the decision? Should it be a democratic decision or should you let the experts decide? Exactly. You let the experts decide. So it's the same with statecraft, with them running a government. Only qualified people should have a vote. Right, that's the proper way. If you're not qualified to vote, you shouldn't vote. It's just, what is the purpose of your vote? It's not a good vote. Experts should make a decision. Either it's one person or it's a group of people. So this idea of sacred democracy, it doesn't work, and it produces all kinds of weird results. And I don't want to say anything against Donald Trump, but for some people who did like democracy, that what changed them was Donald Trump. They thought, well, if democracy brings Donald Trump, then I just can't accept democracy anymore, because he's such an unusual person, put it that way. Anyway. So Prabhupada gives the scientific system. It's called Varnashram. And Prabhupada, when he's talking to the BTG people, they're asking him questions, he says, the training is Varnashram. So if we have this Varnashram training, we can actually introduce a world system, a system of government, that a utopia. We can introduce a utopia. Of course, as Hare Krishnas, we have the answer, but we're not very powerful, right? Why are we not powerful? We're actually more powerful than we used to. Several weeks ago, Rishi Sunak came here and offered his pranams to Prabhupada. So why is he coming? Well, I guess he was coming because he thought the Hindus in the Conservative Party might vote for me and I might become Prime Minister. I'm just guessing that's part of the reason he came, part of his campaign. So voting, if you're a member of a political party, you have some power. So if presumably there are many Hindus who are part of the Conservative Party, therefore they have a say, they have some power. As a group of people, a group of people have power. As individuals, they have no power, but if people group together, you have enough people who support a party, then that party is now compromised by these people. Now, Prabhupada says in this purport, Chanakya was his unpaid prime minister. He was the prime minister of whom? Who remembers what the purport was about? There was a certain Maharaj was mentioned. This system continued even up to the time of Maharaj, who knows? Anyone remember the purport? Maharaj Chandragupta. Okay, Chandragupta Maharaj. This system where Chanakya was his unpaid prime minister. So why should the prime minister be unpaid? The answer is obvious, because then the prime minister cannot be bribed. You see? To be the perfect leader, you have to be uncorruptible. You have to be free from greed. If you have greed in your heart, you can be bribed. Is that enough? It's not enough. You can be intimidated. Bhayam dvatiya vinivesha tasyad ishara petasya vipariro smritihi. Fear comes from forgetfulness of Krishna, 11th canto. That means anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna experiences fear. If someone experiences fear, you have leverage over them. Who remembers when I went to school, we studied George Orwell, a book called 1984. And there was this room 101. 101 is the state knew your greatest fear. Room 101 was, we're going to expose you to your greatest fear. And in the case of Winston, it was rats. So he was strapped, as these rats would come and eat him. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanumana ki jai. Shri Shri Gaurinitai ki jai. In the case of 1984, it's a satire. It's against the communist state. It's a criticism of communism. He was broken down by the state surveillance. You know, it's interesting now, if you want to control, if you want people to not break the rules, you have to monitor them, in which case you have a surveillance state. But with surveillance comes the power of exploiting people. You see, the more powerful a government is, the more it can exercise law and order. But at the same time, if the government's corrupt, the more it can misuse it. Therefore, there's a balancing act between freedoms of people and the power given to the government. So if the government is pious and saintly, then a surveillance state is fine. But if the government's corrupt, then surveillance could be used to exploit the people. And to, as Prabhupada said, they can be exploited. The people who steal the wealth of the people, the government, they're like bloodsuckers. There's an interesting story. This is from Bhagavat Das, who became Bhagavat Maharaj later on. He was in Africa, and then one BBC reporter interviewed Prabhupada. And now at that time, the neighbouring state was Tanzania, and the government had passed a rule overnight that no one owned any property anymore. Everything belonged to the state, and you had to pay rent. So Prabhupada was furious. So this BBC reporter was asking Prabhupada, what is your mission? And he goes, to chastise those fools and rascal governments who are thieves, they're bloodsuckers, they're stealing the property of the hard-earned wealth of the people. And he just, a tirade, transcendental tirade from Prabhupada. The BBC reporter was shocked. He said, do you know anyone who can actually rule the whole world? Because Prabhupada started talking about Lord Ram and the pious king and everything. And Prabhupada put his cane in the ground and said, yes, me. According to Bhagavad Das, just before Prabhupada said that, the tape ran out. So they don't have it on video. But the reporter was shocked that Prabhupada's sort of his boldness, you see. So let's go back. I said fear, if we are not pure, we can be exploited because we have fear. If you know someone's fear, you can exploit them. So the perfect leader has to be free from greed, free from fear, cannot be bribed, cannot be threatened in any way. If the Brahmanas, Brahma Janatiti Iti Brahmanaha, a Brahmana is one who is on the Brahman platform. A real Brahman is off the bodily platform. There's two categories. There's Brahma Bhuta, means one is Brahman realized, and the opposite is Jiva Bhuta, means one is a conditioned soul. So a Brahmana realizes his identity beyond the body. Aya samoita jiva atmanam triganatmakam paropi manate inartam tatkritam chabipajati. First canto. By the illusory energy, one thinks this body to be oneself, even though one is transcendental. But actually the body is tatkritam. It is created by our misdeeds, by our bad. We perform activities in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, we want to enjoy this material world. Therefore, we're given a material body to enjoy this material nature. This is illusion. The body is not something to be celebrated. Actually, it is. Nudeham ajam sulabam sudurlabam plavam subkalpam guru karnadaram. 11th canto, it states that the body is a boat. And guru karnadhar, the guru is the captain of the boat. So we've been given this material body. It is a boat. And if we allow the guru to guide us, then he is like the captain of the boat, and he will guide us across Mayana Kulena Nabesviteritam Pumamba Vabdim Nataret Na Atmaha. Only a killer of the soul, which means someone who either kills animals or someone who kills their own chances of self-realization through ignorance, only such a person will not take advantage of the guru. The guru will take us across the ocean of material suffering. Mayana Kulena, and the Vedas are like the favorable winds that go into the sails of the boat and carry it across the ocean, you see. So that's intelligence. So the body is simultaneously, it is created by ignorance, but if we use it correctly in the service of the Lord, then it is a wonderful opportunity. It is a precious gift by which we can cross over the material ocean. We have to take shelter of the guru. So going back to the Brahmanas, they're the advisors. So they rule. Who rules the world? It's actually the Brahmins rule. It's explained in this particular purport. The Kshatriyas would never be autocratic monarchs. In other words, they would defer to the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are the head of society. The Kshatriyas rule on behalf of the Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas take advice from the Brahmanas. There's a Brahminical council. The Kshatriyas rule in accordance with that. If we can adopt that system of government, then we have a utopia. Now, at the moment, our world is so badly in trouble, we have the risk of catastrophe. Now, I'll give you. I sometimes listen on YouTube to some future or some alternative thinkers on how to run government. It's very obvious that our government, our whole system, world system, doesn't work. I gave the example of China and America. Neither of them want to protect the environment too hard because there's a financial cost. And neither nation knows how to enforce that on the other. Therefore, collectively, everyone doesn't properly look after the environment, so everyone suffers. This is the example where the overall result is everyone suffers. The arms race, any arms race is like that as well. If nations spend all their energy stockpiling nuclear weapons, then there's no proper utilization of energy for caring, for medical research, for alleviating hunger, such or education, because money doesn't get ploughed into that field because everyone's too busy trying to protect themselves by having these demonic weapons. And Prabhupada said, ominously, you make them, therefore you will use them. If you make them, you will use them. Of course, they didn't use them. They used them in in the Second World War. So with all this, someone thinker calls it the tragedy of the commons. No one wants a bad situation. No one wants a nuclear catastrophe, but we're really close to having one. Right? Now, there's an interesting fact. There's one Russian who got the Nobel Prize for Peace. He worked in one of those nuclear silos in Russia. And one day, on the computer screen, there's an alert. There are missiles coming from America. So what is he going to do? He took the decision, I can't trust this. I'm not going to act upon it. And he didn't counter. He could have set forth the set of protocols that lead to a counterattack, but he didn't do it. And fortunately, we're all here today, the world's here today, because if there'd been a nuclear war between Russia and America, we'd all have been finished. What happened was it was a computer glitch. So we're just thinking, we're so close. It's an amazing event. Not many people know about it, but we're so close to this global catastrophe, you see. So in order to solve these things, we need, as Prabhupada says, a one-world government. And we need power. Now, having knowledge, we have knowledge. We have theoretical knowledge. So let's now look at the question, how do we actually have a world government? And what would it look like? Well, because we're Hare Krishnas, we're obviously going to say, world government, we should listen to the Hare Krishnas, right? Now, if you're a Christian, they love their own version, world government. Well, yeah, we should have the Christians who should decide the world government. And anyway, but let's talk about the Hare Krishnas. So we have a one-world government. What does it look like? Well, first of all, you have to have people with knowledge. Now, we have knowledge in the books. Here's a question. From reading Prabhupada's books, can we rule the world? I mean, I think we would get a lot of things right. Personally speaking, I would immediately put up big taxes on meat products, and I would outlaw killing of cows. You can eat your pigs, and you can eat your horses if you want to eat your dogs, snakes, you know. We're talking here about people like China as well. Chinese people eat dogs and snakes. You can do that because Prabhupada said there's a place for that. If you want to kill, if you're addicted to meat eating, you should eat those animals, but don't kill the cow. So I would put taxes on meat in general to dissuade people from eating it. I would like put higher taxes on alcohol consumption, etc. Education, I'd gear it more toward development of character rather than just technological information. Prabhupada, you know, remember about a decade ago they had this concept toxic debt. People used to talk about toxic debt. There was a whole subprime mortgage market collapsed and the banks were freaking out and there was a big catastrophe. And of course the banks were, quote unquote, too big to fail. So we bailed them out, you see. If a small business goes bankrupt, tough luck. Just pick up welfare. If the banks go bankrupt, oh, we can't have that because the whole system depends on the banks. Therefore, we'll just bail them out with lots of money. So the government bailed out the banks. But why did this happen? They analysed it and they said, because in all these top institutions, we were teaching them economics, high degree economics, with like automatic trading and all this pricing of options using high-powered mathematics. And all these, we created this class of very intelligent economists who knew how to use powerful computers and mathematics, but we never taught them character. We did not teach these people character. Therefore, due to bad character, they made the wrong decisions, they took risks, and they crashed the whole economy, you see? So the type of education that the world needs is education in character. Now, we have it in our books in theory. Are we examples? There may be some very nice examples in the Hare Krishna movement. But in general, the world does not look to the Hare Krishna movement and say, they are great examples. So we have to become great examples. We don't just need theoretical knowledge. To actually practically rule a country based on Prabhupada's books, you have to apply rules according to time, place, and circumstance. That requires great intelligence. There are always rules, there are always dilemmas, there are conflict of rules. You can have one rule versus another rule, and you have to make the right decision. You have to know when to make peace with your enemy, when to enforce a rule, when not to. There's so many statecrafts, very difficult. It requires divine intelligence. Prabhupada said Brahmanas could rule because they were following the law of Krishna, Krishna's words. Yudhisthira Maharaj, he could rule the entire world because he was actually in touch with Krishna. If you're pure, you're a via media to the divine. And I read the purport in the first canto. Prabhupada says, only Krishna can create a world government that everyone can accept because it's beyond human power to do so. So we have to accept, if we want a one world government, we have to have via media to Krishna. Someone has to be, act as a via media. Therefore, that person has to be pure. So if you asked me to be a government, I'd give it a try. I wouldn't manage it. But I'm not pure enough. I don't know what Krishna wants. Therefore, I would apply Prabhupada's books. I would apply the teachings of Prabhupada according to my understanding. But then some other devotee would apply according to their understanding, and another devotee there, and therefore we'd end up with 5, 10 devotees, 10 different versions how to run the world. Who's got the right answer? Whoever's pure enough to be the recipient of knowledge from Krishna. So the brahmanas need to be so pure that they cannot be corrupted by greed. They cannot be threatened, therefore they're off the bodily platform. If you're acting according to principles, spiritual principles, you're in touch with the Supreme, and you know you're not your body. But ultimately, what can you take away from someone? You can only take away their wealth, and if they're detached, they're not going to be bothered. You can torture them, but if they're not on the bodily platform, that doesn't even work either. Such a person is very powerful because they are uncorruptible. That is the class of Brahmins that we need. And the Kshatriyas, they need to be subservient to those people, which means the Brahmanas need to be powerful. Now, you take the example of King Vena. At that time, the Brahmanas were powerful. They, through a sound, they were so powerful that through sound, hungkrita is the Sanskrit term used, they killed Vena. Vena was a rascal. He was the worst type of rascal. You know what happened? The Brahmanas were performing yajñas for Vishnu, and Vena outlawed it. He said, there will be no more yajña for Vishnu. I am the king. And then he quoted, he said, Sarva Deva Mayo Nripaha. He said, the king is the representative of all the demigods. Yajñas are for demigods. If you want to perform yajñas, you should perform the yajña for the king, and I am the king. So he tried to steal, he tried to take the position. Ultimately, yajña vaisaha, yajñas for Vishnu. So Vena was so impudent that he decided that he was a competitor to Vishnu himself, and he outlawed the yajña. And then as a result of that, that was a grave offence. Therefore, he lost his life. He had to be killed for that. What happened afterwards? The sages thought, we now have no ruler, which is what we have at the moment. We have a world with no ruler. Therefore, we have catastrophe. We have these threats of wars and all this terrible stuff going on. We don't even know if the bees are going to survive. If the bees don't survive, then there's not going to be no pollination. So the whole ecosystem collapses, you know. It's terrible. And we need to sort these problems really, really quickly. So at that time, Vena was killed. Therefore, the thieves became prominent. Now, Prithu, we're talking here, this chapter is called Scheduled Incarnations. We're talking about Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj is compared to the sun in the fourth canto. And there's two reasons for that. So I'll ask you, does anyone know why he's compared to the sun? There's two aspects of the sun that it's comparable. One reason is the sun distributes its sunshine everywhere. In the same way, Prithu Maharaj distributed mercy everywhere. Now, this purport talks about the welfare state. So the welfare state's a good thing. We have spiritual communism. Prabhupada talked about spiritual communism. Every grihastha, before eating, what should they do? They should go out in the street and go, is anyone hungry? 3 times, call out, anyone hungry? Anyone hungry? Anyone hungry? Anyone comes, they feed them. If they feed everyone, then they fast. They won't eat. In a society like that, you know, you don't need government regulation for the welfare state. It happens automatically, you see. So the welfare state's good. Therefore, communism, socialism has its part. Now, the Vaishyas, they're motivated by profit, and they're allowed. They're allowed to do that. Prabhupada said, the Vaishyas, they give a certain percentage of the income to the state, and they keep the profit. Therefore, we allow the market forces. We allow capitalism. It's there. The Vaishyas, they like capitalism. The Shudras, they like socialism or communism because they get looked after. What the Kshatriyas, they like monarchy. Prabhupada said this. The Kshatriyas, they like monarchy, rule of law. They could be the autocrat in subservience to the Brahmins, but they can be like the Rajarishi. Rajarishi means proper laws. We can't just have the Vaishyas in control because they're motivated by greed. We want proper law and order, and we will create the laws and we will enforce the laws. Therefore, monarchy is good. Prabhupada liked monarchy. Prabhupada even said dictatorship, if it's done nicely, is better than democracy. What did he say about democracy? He just demon crazy. He totally just doesn't like it. And then people complained about the government, and they said, it's your fault. You voted them in. And I've never understood the logic there. So I'm thinking, well, what if I didn't vote? I still have to suffer. I didn't vote. When was the last time I voted? A long time ago. You can't blame me for the Conservative government if you don't like it. You know, I didn't vote. Anyway, but the Prabhupada used to turn it back and say, no, it's your fault. You want democracy, you have to pay the consequences, you see. And then, according to Kirtananda Maharaj, he's obviously left his body, he was at New Brindavan, Prabhupada said, and the Brahmanas, he said, the Shudras like socialism or communism, the Vaishyas like capitalism, the Kshatriyas, they like monarchy, Brahmanas, they like anarchy. If you're qualified, no one should tell you what to do, isn't it? So I think the Brahmanas are allowed anarchy because they're qualified. They're beyond the law. The powers that be should never chastise a Brahmana. It's very dangerous. It's said in the purport, if you disrespect a great soul, then you're finished. There's so many examples. That's why Vaishnava Parad, we talk about it in our society. We have to be so careful about offending devotees, because if we offend a great devotee, then our spiritual life is devastated. It's the mad elephant offense, you know. So there's some thoughts about world government, because this is all about Prithu. So I mentioned Prithu. There's two reasons why Prithu is compared to the sun. So I'll complete that, and then we'll open it up for comments and questions. One reason is he distributed mercy, like the sun distributes its rays everywhere. The other reason is the sun evaporates water, creates clouds, then the clouds sprinkle water everywhere. So in the same way, Prithu was a great, wait for it, he was a great tax collector. Now, sometimes the Christians, they like the tax collectors, Jesus and the tax collectors. It's like a bad word. No one likes the tax collector. But the fact of the matter is, taxes are required. So Prithu, Maharaj, is very powerful. So to have one a government, to be qualified, if the Hare Krishnas are qualified to be the rulers of the world, they need realized advisors who can actually channel the will of the Lord, like Yudhisthira Maharaj. He actually knew what Krishna wanted. It's not enough to be theoretical. I've already mentioned, if I read Prabhupada's books, I filter it through my own conditioned soul, my conditioned senses, other people. So I'm a conditioned soul trying to run the world government. It wouldn't work. So you've got to be pure. Then you've got to have power. Now, I mentioned the Brahmanas. They had the power of sound. They killed Vena by sound. Because with purity comes power. If the Brahmanas aren't pure, they don't have any power. So the Brahma can say whatever he likes, but who's going to listen? You know, we tell the British government to close the slaughterhouses, they're not going to listen. Now, if enough Hindus, for example, they wanted to close the slaughterhouses and enough Hindus were part of the Conservative Party, then maybe they would be influenced. But there's influence by voting influence, there's economic power. If a group of people have enough economic power, then the government tend to listen. So I remember several years ago, David Cameron was the Prime Minister. So they had Wembley Stadium and Modi, the Prime Minister of India, was there. And David Cameron was giving a speech and he was talking about, you know, you Gujaratis or Indians, you're such good economically. You provide so much good for the economy. And I was thinking, yes, that's what it's all about. The economic, if a group of people are economically helping the nation, then the politicians will listen. So, but ultimately, other ways of control, there's control through force. You've got, for example, Vladimir Putin, right? So he's got power over nuclear weapons. So people take him seriously, even though, according to his history, he isn't the best type of person. He was a bit of a crook and a gangster, but he made it to the top, you see. He now has nuclear weapons. No one's going to interfere with him. So there's power through threat, through economic, through voting rights. But then there's power through love. So Prabhupada, right, did he have power, economic power? No, he came with a few rupees, right? Did he have political power? I mean, he wasn't like, he didn't vote. He said he never voted. His vote didn't matter to anyone because he never even cast his vote, right? Did he have nuclear weapons? Of course not. So what was his power? He changed people's power within the heart. He changed people's hearts. That's the power of love. So the Hare Krishnas, we don't have so much of the other type of power, but we can develop the power of love. If we chant Hare Krishna nicely, we develop compassion, then our hearts will touch other people. That's the best answer. It's the closest we're going to get, you know. We chant very purely. You come to the platform where you're free from envy. The Goswamis, Dira Dira Priyajana, they were dear to everyone, to the ruffians and to the saintly people. So this is the power of a devotee. Devotees are so powerful, their hearts are so pure, that heart, it attracts people. So people follow Prabhupada, gave up their lives to serve Prabhupada, gave up their futures. Why? Because they saw, this person loved me. They said, many of Prabhupada's disciples said, I didn't know what love was until I met Srila Prabhupada. He loved me, you know, I never experienced the love he gave. I never experienced that before. So when Prabhupada left the planet, so many disciples, they were distraught. It was such a traumatic experience because they experienced that actual love. That is ultimately the power of love. So you don't economics is only required when there's rivalry. For example, when people decide to have a family, they don't do it for financial reasons. They don't think, I will have a son and I will loan money to my son. And when my son's older, he will pay back every penny that I used when I fed him when he was 5 years old, 6 years old, and I'll charge interest as well. We don't do that because it's out of love. You love someone, there's no financial transaction required. Right? So ultimately, how to change society? We have to become pure. We chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And people will follow because they want to. If we can be that example, people will follow Hare Krishna. So thank you for tolerating me. I gave my thoughts. And I will just, before one thing, I'll just refer to one technicality. Nice, interesting point. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada explains the word putra. So tra, you know, the word tra means to deliver. Like kshatriya means to deliver from harm. Ksha means harm and triyati means to deliver. So the kshatriyas, they deliver one from harm. They protect us from harm. So tra means to deliver. And put, Prabhupada says, means hell. It's a place, hellish planet called put. So putra means one who delivers from hell. It's interesting that according to Puranas, the Yamadutas, they are personalities who after they left the planet, their ancestors did not perform pinda. Therefore, they suffered greatly. See, the duty of the son is to deliver the father, and part of that is ceremony is pinda. Now, if your son is a Vaishnav, just through chanting Hare Krishna, the relatives benefit. But if you're not part of that system, then there's the pinda. You're supposed to offer the sacrifice to your forefathers. And if they're not, what happens is forefathers who do not get that sacrifice, they get hungry because they're not getting offered pinda, but they become very angry, and then they get offered the post of being a Yamaduta, and they get to punish people who don't follow Dharma. And they take their opportunity because they're very angry that their ancestors didn't follow Dharma and they suffered. Therefore, they desire revenge. Therefore, they get to punish people who don't follow Dharma. So the Yamadutas are kind of contorted, ugly people because they're tormented, because that was their previous situation. They were tormented because other people, their ancestors didn't follow Dharma. It's in the Puranas. So anyway, so putra means the son will look after the father through the performance of yajñas, proper ceremonies, etc. And here's a play on words. Prabhupada says, we know that the son comes from the genitals, urine comes from the genitals, therefore the son that does not look after the father, does not follow Dharma, is as good as urine. Your son is as good as urine, he comes from the same source, is as good as urine. And in Sanskrit, the word for urine is mutra. So your son is either putra or mutra, you see? So it's a play on words. So that's the explanation of the last few sentences of the purport. And I've overrun, so I apologize for that. But any 5 minutes for any comments or questions? Or we can just take prasadam. Hari Bol. Oh, Pagi, pardon. Yes, we're fasting because it's Vamana appearance day tomorrow, so we're fasting, yeah? Thank you. Shows you how much I know. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, with the society, it's fair to say that it's so built off of division, you know, like on the bodily platform in regards to like identity. How can a scientific system, like you said, like the Varnashram system, which, and forgive me if I'm kind of incorrect here, feels limiting in its kind of approach, you know, like especially with the way society is, you know, you have four Varnas and four Ashrams. How can we introduce this to people who are so used to dividing themselves off of like seemingly like thousands of like different identities, you know?
Yes. Identities, yes. Identities and identity politics, and we all have these identities. The Varnashram system, how do you look at it? Now, if you give it its other name, the caste system, then that's got a real bad, it's like the word autocracy. Dictatorship, autocracy, you know, caste system, that's another, it's synonymous with exploitation. And in this world, in the Western world, people just don't like the word caste system. And they associate with a class of brahmanas who lord it over others and who are just doing it to be the leaders, and they don't actually help the people. Right? That's what our acharyas call the vitiated caste system. But what is Varnashram? Varnashram is this. What it means is, we want to give everyone the freedom and the right to perform the type of work that is best for them and which they are most happy with. We preserve the freedom of everyone to pursue the type of work that is most suited for them. And we won't just let people decide themselves. That's the hard part. If you don't want to decide themselves, we'll say, no, you can't decide. We know better. We know better. You're not suited for that type of work. You're suited for this. You have the example in Raj Ram, the Ram Raj. Lord Ram killed a Shudra, because the Shudra was performing austerities, taking the role of a Brahmana. And that was a violation of Dharma. Because if you don't have the qualities of a Brahmana, you cannot have the power of a Brahmana. Through chanting of mantras, you can become very powerful. But if you misuse that power due to bad personality, that is bad. So in answer to the question, as I said, it has to be done through love. There has to be people who can charm the people. You have to charm the people. People will follow it if you're irresistible, if your character is so pure that people just love you, then they will follow whatever system. Because ultimately, the Varnashram system, although I mentioned it's the freedom for everyone to perform the activity that they like, that they are suited to, at the same time, we are still saying, we decide, there's someone making a decision. No, that's not your Varna. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing something else. Someone who is enlightened needs to be able to allocate proper things. So I don't know how it's going to happen. We do have this problem. As I say, I've said, to make anything happen, there's about four ways to do it. You can buy, if you want control, you can buy it. If you're powerful, if you have lots of money, you can change things. If you have military power, you can change. If you can have voting power, you can change. And ultimately, I think we have none of them in the Hare Krishnas to a great extent. Therefore, we have to convert, we have to change people's hearts. And I think that's the way to do it. And if you can change someone's heart, then they will see we need the living examples, basically. We have it's there theoretically, but how do you make Varnashram appealing to people in general? You have to purify the heart. That's what I think. And it's not easy. Anyone else? Comments? Srinivas Prabhuji.
Gauranga Prabhu was giving a talk in a prison in Mumbai, and he saw three people with Kunti Malas. And he asked them, what are you doing here? And they explained, we saw one person trying to imitate Krishna, and we killed him. And we got put in prison.
Oh my God.
So Gauranga Prabhu tried to explain to them, why did you do that? And he said, we couldn't just handle it, that he was imitating Krishna. So Prabhupada said to Rameshwar Prabhu, a time will come in the future also that people who don't chant Hare Krishna, they'll be killed. In Prabhupada said, the fourth generation without power, that they can light matches without fire. So purity will come in time.
Srinivas Prabhu, you're not supposed to say these things. They're part of the other conversations that we don't talk about. People might hear it online. I'm joking. Yeah, there are these statements, and they can be interpreted in different ways. Prabhupada did joke at times. He would talk, do you believe in Krishna? No. Bang. Do you believe in Krishna? No. Bang. Now, you can take that literal, or you can take it as a joke. And I'm not here to say what one it is, Hare Krishna. But yeah, it's true. Prabhupada, he liked the... He talked about like Islam was spread by the sword, he said. And he gave the example of Vaishnavas, you know, we can spread like this, you know. He liked the idea of like having power and using it for the good, for the ultimate good. You know, sometimes he talked this way. So anyway, yes. We don't know what's going to happen, but the future is looking grim. I mean, the Bhagavatam predicts that, you know, there'll be no food, so it'll be you eat me, I eat you. Like, in order to survive, if you're hungry, you're going to have to kill someone or they'll kill you. And I could just imagine it happening, because I look at the environmental problems we have, the bees going extinct, and I just think, you know, it's been a terrible year, we had war, and there's not enough crops, the global warming's causing the crops to fail, and there's like the food shortages coming already, you know, so, and this is only now. I mean, what's it going to be like in 20 years' time? I have no idea. Because we're living in very strange times. So yeah. Anyway, we can only chant Hare Krishna and do our best and distribute Prabhupada's literature, and hopefully there'll be a transformation. Srinivas Prabhuji.
Well, Sivaram Maharaj said, if the war does happen, after the war, there'll be a build-up again, everything will build up again economically.
Mm-hmm.
After 20 years of struggle, then Lord Chaitanya's mercy will go out much easier to everyone.
Yeah. So every cloud has a silver lining, right? So if the more catastrophe we have, the more people might be receptive, right? It might shake them up. Yes, Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Aki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitya Gaura Premanandi Haribol.